This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
And this afternoon, a conversation with State Representative Christine Brazen, who's the House Republican leader, her district based in Canby. Thanks for being on with us today.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
So we want to focus, although we're going to hit some other things as well, but we want to focus on the list recently put out by the governor of plans she had to commute the sentences of a number of convicted felons in Oregon. What was your response when that initially came out?
I was shocked and concerned for the victims, frankly, for our state. I took a look at some of the folks in my county, Clackamas County in particular, who are on that list of possible commutations. You guys would be shocked and just horrified at some of the crimes that are committed by these folks, mostly against other kids. And the fact that the governor is actively pursuing releasing more folks from prison than any governor in Oregon's history gives me real cause for concern that she doesn't actually believe in Oregon laws. I mean, Oregonians adopted Measure 11 for a reason. We believe in having safe communities, and we believe in having fair sentences for these crimes that have been committed. And I don't think the governor believes in those same values.
And what was the wraparound on this? Because it had to do with crimes that were committed when they were juveniles, correct?
Yeah, the legislature passed a bill. It was Senate Bill 1008 that impacted kids, youth, under these Measure 11 sentences. The governor proactively made the decision that that bill is supposed to be forward-looking. She made the decision to have it also be considered retroactive. So folks that are already serving their time, crimes that have already been committed, victims that have already gone through the very difficult process of, you know, the courts, and now we're talking about having those folks be released based on something that happened some years ago. And so she is proactively getting out there and trying to find ways to empty out the prisons. She has already released 1,000 adults, and she has, you know, pardoned and commuted sentences, and now she has set her sights on youth that are serving. And we're talking about people that are serving for murder, attempted murder, sex abuse. I mean, stuff that, you know, the circumstances of these crimes are you can't actually talk about the facts of these crimes probably on radio. So it's really, really scary stuff that she's looking at.
Are you aware of any other states that have taken similar measures to what the governor is looking at?
Well, you know, commutations are always within the purview of the governor. But Oregon is uniquely aggressive right now in the governor's response to what she views as a need, I believe, for criminal justice reform. But instead of going through this process and having this conversation with Oregonians who passed Measure 11, she's going around them, and she's using her commutation authority as governor to push these issues forward. And it is disrespectful to Oregonians to not allow them to weigh in on this.
In the midst of dealing with the pandemic and all the other things that have been on the plate of government for the last 18 months, how did this get in the mix?
Well, I bet a bunch of Oregonians feel the same way. Some of these emergencies that are out there, when you have too much power, when you have single party control in a state, it is their response to say, listen, let's not waste a crisis. We're going to use this crisis to advance our agenda. It's a different topic, but I was on a briefing yesterday with Pete Buttigieg, and he was presenting information on this huge infrastructure spend. And they actually said in that meeting, we're going to turn the climate crisis into an opportunity. We're going to ensure that this spend reflects the values of this administration on union support, climate, resilience, racial equity, supporting underserved communities. And we are going to ensure that that as we design and prop up new programs, that they will be focused on advancing our vision and our values. And I believe that here in Oregon, we have a similar set of circumstances to what the Biden administration is doing, where they've made the decision to not waste a crisis. And as she has moved through COVID, and there was pressure in COVID to be responsive for spacing and all those kinds of things for safety in jails, and she released 1,000 people and people didn't bat an eye. And so now she's moving ahead with this commutation process that for some of those folks, it's going to result in them going before a parole board, which will create an opportunity for victims to be consulted. But the parole board doesn't have to take the victim impacts into consideration. All they have to look at is whether or not the person has in fact changed. Now, everybody that has killed somebody, I'm sure after they spent some time in jail, they say they won't do that again. But those families of those victims, whether or not it was sex abuse or attempted murder, whatever it might have been, they deserve to be heard and they deserve to have a process. And some of what she's doing doesn't even give them a point that they can engage and communicate and share with her their concern. She spent a half an hour on the phone with a prisoner that she is considering commuting. And she never reached out and spoke to the victims. She didn't reach out and speak to the DA about that person's history in their community or what their criminal history looked like outside of that one case. She didn't do anything. She just talked to the prisoner. And that's not going to give her all of the facts, all the information, everything she needs to know to make a good decision. She's operating strictly from an agenda-driven approach on whether or not she believes that people should be in jail. And I don't think that she believes that people should be in jail.
What is the timeline for this plan?
It's on her timeline because she has absolute authority for commutation. And so she is in this process where she's requested this list from the from the Oregon Youth Authority, I'm sorry. And they have produced a list of about 215 people that have served 50% or more of their sentence. And so these folks will be under consideration for whether or not the governor wants to commute their sentences. And she has, in fact, indicated that she's actively looking at that list. 215 folks are up for consideration for possible commutation.
What's the response you've heard from law enforcement, from district attorneys, people like that?
District attorneys that are in my area, at least. I know D.A. Barton from Washington County sent a letter to his delegation outlining the details of the cases that were under consideration in their county. And he has some real concerns. And in my area, my D.A. also reached out to the delegation in Clackamas County here and said, this is not OK. The approach that she's taking right now to bypass Measure 11 and to repeal Measure 11 by executive action is not OK. So those folks are opposed to it. I would imagine that, if you go to the DA in Multnomah County, he might have a different view. But the DAs in the regions up here in the rest of the metro region, I think this is an absolutely terrible idea. And her approach has not been the kind of approach that safeguards community safety or is responsive to, we have three branches of government for a reason. She needs to respect the judicial branch, and she also needs to respect voters.
Now, I understand the list of possible names was released to the media before the families of and some of the victims were even notified. What are your thoughts on that?
I just hurt when I heard that for these victims and their families. I just cannot imagine the kind of gut punch that must have been. I mean, I've seen the list of some of these crimes. If any of this stuff happened to you or your family, and you heard that the governor was potentially releasing this person out into the community with never having reached out to you or notified you or anything, I just found it to be absolutely horrifying and so, so wrong.
So given the fact that the governor does have the power to commute these sentences, from your side of the aisle, how do you think this should be handled?
The only way to push back on an issue like this where she has absolute power is to ensure that the victims and people that are advocates for victims engage with the governor's office and convince her not to move forward in the way that she's proposed. It's not good enough that someone has served 50% of their sentence. We have sentencing guidelines under Measure 11 for a reason. So the people, you know, so that you have fairness, you have a standard that actually prevents judges from, you know, treating people differently when they commit the same kind of crime. And that protects victims, it protects communities, and it makes our system more fair. For the governor to go around that system, she's putting people at risk. She's making our state less safe. And it's got to be the victims. It's got to be advocates. It's got to be politicians. And everyday people have got to speak with one voice and say, no, like, I see what you're doing. You cannot do this in the dark of night. You do not have our support to do this.
Going to take a break. More with House Republican leader Christine Drazen. When we come back, the interview, a podcast at 541radio.com after 1 o'clock, 1246 at Inside Douglas County from News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1. Later, KQEN Local Talk at 4, David Littlejohn and True Wealth Radio. On tomorrow's Inside Douglas County program, Mike McCarter of the Greater Idaho Movement. And on Thursday, a very special Veterans Day program. We'll be interviewing two veterans, and that'll be on Thursday. All our interviews Thursday focusing on Veterans Day. Oregon House Republican leader Christine Drazen on with us now. We've been talking about the governor's plans to commute the sentences of convicted felons. From your fellow lawmakers, what kinds of things have you heard? What kind of feedback have they offered?
Well, on the Democrat side of the aisle, I've heard crickets. I haven't heard any of them push back on the governor on this issue. And if I've missed something, I'm going to apologize in advance, but none of it's come across my desk. On the Republican side of the aisle, we have been advocating with our our DAs and others to try to figure out if we can connect a coalition and get folks to push back against the governor on this. We have, of course, no influence over what she chooses to do with her commutation power other than advocacy, and that is what we've been engaging in. She should not. Release hundreds of felons out into our communities during this time. She shouldn't.
As this goes on, if it takes place as it appears to be planned right now, once these folks are released, would the post-sentencing terms of their conviction still be in place, meaning post-prison supervision, things like that?
All of that, I would have to hope, would continue to be in place. And as these commutations are structured, she can make decisions to say, I'm going to commute this sentence, but, you have to abide by the following or you go back to jail. As I noted, some of this stuff, these folks are just going to be eligible for a parole board review. And those folks aren't going to immediately be released. It really is the list of folks that would be commuted directly that's the most problematic. But if the governor moves ahead with some of these decisions, she can also add additional requirements for the people that she releases for, their living arrangements or all of that kind of stuff. All of the post-prison supervision would, in fact, be in place. But, in a lot of cases, we have such a mess when it comes to post-prison supervision that they don't always do a good job of making sure that the folks that have been released and are supposed to be under post-prison supervision, in fact, are abiding by all of those terms. So I would say, generally speaking, if you look across the enterprise of state government right now, there's an awful lot of failures and an awful lot of challenges for these agencies that are under, Kate Brown's control. We have, the housing agency is a mess, and they keep talking about why they can't get checks out to these landlords that haven't had any money, coming their way from rents for the last 20 months. They have this whole Measure 11 thing. They didn't keep their word on redistricting, and they tried to, they cheated the system for how our political lines are going to look in the future. You've got the employment department that couldn't get out checks. You know, it's just like one failed agency after another. So I would say the better decision is to use the commutation authority sparingly. It is not meant to be a magic wand that you can wave and absolutely repeal the will of the voters. Have the conversation with Oregonians. If you no longer believe that Measure 11 is the right standard for us to live under as a state, have the conversation with the voters who adopted Measure 11. And let them weigh in on it. Don't go around everybody. Don't do that to victims.
Let's hit on a few other things during our time together here. Homelessness, every community facing this to some extent. What's the GOP plan for addressing this crisis of homelessness?
Well, the first thing that we have to do is we have to reverse the laws on the books that Democrats just adopted to encourage homeless camping across the state. And that was it's a failed approach to homelessness when you say that the only issue that we've got is to keep people out of the rain. And now, you know, you see a lot more camping and that is not the right solution. That's not the right answer. And so that needs to be reversed. That law needs to be repealed. But additionally, you can't just look at it like it's a housing challenge. You have to look at it like these are people that these guys have families somewhere, you know, they have lost connection to their own communities, to their own families, and they are sleeping on the streets. That's not just a housing problem. That's like a broken community, broken relationship problem, where the question is, do they have access to the dignity of work? Do they have the supports they need to separate themselves and get the help that they need for substance abuse if that's a challenge that's also impacting their ability to get off the streets? You have to stop looking at the homeless population like it's a big anonymous, faceless, you know, somebody else's problem. And we have to get in there and figure out on an individual basis what's going to move you from sleeping on this sidewalk to being a productive member of society where you have connections again, where if you face a hard time, you're not going to fall this low. You're going to have what we all hope for and need is community. And for whatever reason, when it comes to the homeless population in Oregon, we have encouraged this idea that there's dignity in what in fact has no dignity. I mean, there's no respect in looking at another person and saying, I think it's okay in a developed country that you're living on a sidewalk. That's not okay. Something is broken there. And the Democrats' idea that all we need to do is spend millions and millions of dollars to build, you know, housing apartments and put people in hotels and put people up in hotels, that's not a long-term solution. That is not a long-term solution. That's more government spending, that's more bureaucracy, that's more expanded government. That is not going to solve the human problem. Homelessness is a human problem. There's something that's happened. And those people need to be reconnected to the bottom rung on that ladder to get them reconnected again in society. And giving them a hotel room for the night is not going to get that job done. And so we have got to look at it differently than the Democrats are looking at it. They're looking at it like it's housing and they just need shelter. They don't need a tent. And hotels are not going to solve this problem. We need to clean up the streets. And it's got to start on a person-by-person basis.
What's your assessment of how education in Oregon is doing right now?
I think like most parents, I'm a mom of three, and we knew all through COVID that our schools were in fact not serving our kids, you know, with this distance learning concept. And now that they're back in person, we're finding that in my community in particular, their projected graduation rate is 55% in Cambie. That's mind-boggling, and it's not good enough for our students. So I think that our, you know, professional staff and our schools are doing the best that they can to bring kids back up to speed. But our system's not doing them any favors. The Department of Education said, hey, it's okay if these substitute teachers don't even have a college degree. Hey, it's okay if we don't actually have standards for our kids to graduate from high school. It's okay if our kids didn't attend. We're just going to push them through. We're going to push them on to the rest of their lives. And they're not looking at our students like they deserve our investment. They deserve our focus. They deserve to learn what their older siblings learned in school and be prepared for their best future. Instead, we are making the decision right now to say, gosh, this was a tough year and everybody's going to be equally harmed by that. We're going to move them on. And so I think that if we're not serious about testing and understanding where our kids are right now, if we're not serious about elevating and raising our standards and our expectations and making sure that we do everything we can to bring them up to speed and make sure that they graduate with real standards for that graduation, the long-term future of our state, we're going to feel this. We are going to feel this later because it's not good enough that our students have fallen behind and we just shrug our shoulders about that. We have got to help our kids be in a position to have their best future.
Oregon House Republican Leader Christine Drazin, out of time for now. Thanks for being on today.
Thank you, Kyle.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.